Okay, so welcome back, everyone, to Experience Shabbat. So we are going to be speaking tonight specifically about the connection between Torah and Shabbat. And obviously, as we've been trying to advertise, the reason why we're speaking about the connection between Torah and Shabbat is because we are now officially, as of right now, basically, or maybe a little bit earlier than right now, we're about one full week away from Shavuos. So it feels right in the context of this year, which is talking about Shabbat, to speak about the connection that Torah shares with Shabbat, which, as we'll see, is a very special connection. We'll begin, and one other point just before we begin we like to start off with a bit of Hakaras HaTov. So just most of the sources that I'm going to be sharing this evening come from an essay, an article that can be found in Rabbi Eliezer Malamed's book, Panim Halacha on Shabbat, highly recommended for many reasons. So many of the sources that we'll go over tonight come from this book. So we'll begin with the source in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has the following halacha, which we'll see it has major implications. He says as follows: Achar Seudas Shachris, after we have the first meal of the day, right? So after you go to shul in the morning and then you have your Shabbos lunch, Kovim Midrash Lekros B'Neviim V'Lidrash B'Divrei Agada V'Asur Lekbo Seuda Be'Usa Sha'a. After we have our Shabbos meal, we have an obligation to learn Torah. What kind of Torah? So some things from the prophets, some things from the Agadah, some things from the Midrash, etc. But we have to learn something from the Torah. And it's so serious that we have to learn Torah that there is a prohibition to establish a meal during that time. In other words, let's say you normally eat between the hours of 12 and 1 on Shabbos, for example, and you normally have a set time of learning between 1 and 5, halafai, right? So if that was the case, then it would be a prohibition for you to establish a meal between the hours of 1 and 5. The Ramah adds, a fascinating addition, Upoalim ubale batim she'inan oskim batorah kol yimei shavua yasku yoter batorah b'shabbos mitamidei chachamim. When it comes to Shabbos, if you have people who spend their entire week working and busy with other matters, so on Shabbos they have to learn more than even the great Talmidei Chachamim. They have to learn more than the rabbis, because the rabbis learn everything during the week. So since the rabbis learn so much during the week, they can maybe those rabbis could take a little bit of a break on Shabbos, a little bit of a menucha, a rest. However, everyone else has to be learning a little bit more on Shabbos. That's a pretty high caliber for all of us. So it's noteworthy to use this statement of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah to begin our conversation, because it shows us that from the halacha itself, there is a genuine connection between learning Torah on Shabbos. We all know that we spoke several weeks ago about the concept of Shabbos, that on Shabbos, we have an obligation of chetzi lachem and chetzi lachem, that the Gemara tells us that 50% of Shabbos needs to be for us, and 50% of Shabbos needs to be for Hashem. We defined, when we said it needs to be for Hashem, we defined that as that we need to spend our time being involved in spiritual matters. Those spiritual matters were things like davening and learning, and what we essentially said, we did a quick math equation. Again, if you weren't here a few weeks ago, we'll just go over the conclusion right now, and that is that when it comes down to it, we have an obligation to be learning 6 hours of Torah on Shabbos. If we follow what the Gemara says, 50% for Hashem and 50% for us, we have an obligation to be learning 6 hours of Torah on Shabbos. That does not include things like the drasha in the morning or whatever. Really, it just includes like Shabbos morning. It just includes your own Torah learning. So in other words, 6 hours of your own Torah learning. We also said, so let's say you go to the Shabbos afternoon shiur and you go to the Friday night thing and you go to Shal Shudas, you hear all this Torah throughout Shabbos. So how much Torah does that equal? That's about an hour and a half. So we said, if let's say you attend all the classes on Shabbos morning that we typically give in the Young Israel of Merrick, you still have an obligation to learn 4.5 hours of Torah by yourself. That's how serious the obligation to learn is on Shabbos, and that's how serious the connection between Torah and Shabbos is. So for the rest of this year, what I want to do is focus on three specific components of the connection between Torah and Shabbos. Number one, I want to understand what the general / mystical connection is between Torah and Shabbos. In other words, it's clear again from the statement that we made from the Shulchan Aruch that there is a connection between Torah and Shabbos, but what is the nature of that connection? How do we grapple with it and understand that? Number two, I want to understand the nature of the typical customs that we have of learning and teaching Torah on Shabbos. For example, we'll focus on specifically what is the origin of the Shabbos morning drasha, and why does such a concept exist? Meaning, why don't we have a Tuesday morning drasha or a Wednesday evening drasha? Where does the Shabbos morning drasha come from, and how is it connected to Shabbos? And number three, to specifically understand where does the concept of reading the Torah come from on Shabbos. We know that we have a concept of learning rather a reading from the Torah every Monday, Tuesday, every Monday and Thursday and Shabbos Mincha. That comes from a notion that we want to make sure that we never have more than 3 days without any sort of Torah learning whatsoever, but there seems to be a special obligation to read from the Torah every single Shabbos so that we could finish one parsha, so that every single year we can read the entire Torah. Particularly sad idea to bring up right now in the world that we're living in, because we have missed, officially as of this Shabbos, officially as of last Shabbos, we've missed an entire Sefer, one-fifth of the Chumash we have totally missed out this year, and we will not be making it up as per what the poskim have been telling us. But that is the general idea. We read one parsha every single Shabbos so that we can complete the Torah every single year. So, okay, let's go one by one. So number one, how do we understand and quantify the general / mystical connection of Torah and Shabbos? So there is a beautiful Gemara that can be found in the Gemara on Shabbos and Samach Ches Amar Aleph that tells us very simply, why is the Torah and Shabbos so interconnected? Because v'dekulei alma b'Shabbos nisna Torah liYisrael. Everyone agrees that on Shabbos the Torah was given. In other words, next week we're going to have our 2-day Yontif of Shavuos, and it's going to be on Thursday night, Friday day, and Shabbos day. What a beautiful way to celebrate Shavuos than to have it on its proper day to land on Shabbos itself, because the day we received the Torah was also on Shabbos, so next week we'll have Shavuos on Shabbos. How beautiful is that? But that's where the connection begins, because God specifically deemed it that the Torah must be given on Shabbos. This shows us that there is clearly an innate connection between the two. Moreover, the Torah makes the following comments about Shabbos and the Torah. Says the Torah, Amra Torah l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah said before God. What does it mean that the Torah was speaking to God? So in theory, I guess it could be an actual conversation, but we have plenty of times where when Drashim and the like go over ideas where inanimate objects are talking to God, but maybe since the Torah is not exactly an inanimate object, right? We know we believe in the Torah, the Eitz Chaim, the living Torah, so maybe it was alive or is alive or have a conversation with God, but nonetheless, that's a little bit too intense for right now. Let's just read what the Torah says. Amra Torah l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah said to Hashem, Ribono Shalom Hashem, Kishiyichnesu Yisrael Eretz Zeh, when the Jewish people enter into the land of Israel, Ratz Zeh Ratz L'Karmo, V'Zeh Ratz L'Sadehu, this one's going to run to his vineyard, and this one's going to run to his field. But says the Torah, V'ani Matehelai, what is going to become of me, says the Torah, meaning everyone's going to be so busy working and settling the land, no one's going to learn Torah anymore. It's so obvious that during the desert, what did you have to do when you were in the desert, right? For the most part, they weren't really traveling so much. We know that there was a serious chunk of time where they really just stayed still. And so in that time, what did they do? So I guess they learned Torah. They weren't working any fields. They weren't doing anything, really. So other than eating, sleeping, drinking, and having some nice conversations, they would learn Torah, it would seem. And so therefore, the Torah says, once we go into the land of Israel, where now people will have real daily obligations, what is my place anymore? Hashem says back to the Torah, Amar la, yesh li zug shani mizug lecha, v'shabbos shemo. You want to know what you're going to have once we enter into the land of Israel? I'm going to have something called Shabbos. And Shabbos will be the time where the Jews will study you and be connected to you, even though during the week from Sunday to Friday, in theory, there is a possibility that they might forget you. On Shabbos, they won't. Shehim batalam mimalachtam v'yicholam la'asok b'cha, because they will no longer be working on Shabbos, and they will solely be focusing their minds on you. And it's a very powerful idea, by the way, that the Midrash sort of accepts and recognizes that most people don't always have time to learn Torah between Sunday and Friday, because everyone is so busy with their job. That doesn't mean you shouldn't. One should try to learn Torah during the week. But nonetheless, the Torah does make note of this beautiful connection between the Torah and Shabbos, that Shabbos is specifically the day that the Torah can hold on to, because that's the day where none of us are doing work. That's the day where we should be learning. Shabbos is the day where we should be learning Torah. The Beis Yosef also makes the comments. He quotes the Gemara in the Yerushalmi. He says that the says, Lo nitnu Shabbosos v'yom tov. Shabbos and Yontif was not given. There's a machlokas why it was given, but one opinion says, La'asok b'hem d'bri Torah. Hashem specifically gave us the days. Okay, Yontif we'll put aside for right now, but Hashem specifically gave us Shabbos. Why? So that we can sit and learn Torah. That's why we have it. So in other words, you want to know what the connection between Shabbos and Yontif ultimately, what Shabbos and Torah ultimately comes down to? We have Shabbos so that we can sit and learn Torah. Torah is part and parcel of what Shabbos is all about. If we have a Shabbos without Torah, then it doesn't make any sense. It's just not an illogical Shabbos, because what are you doing? Shabbos is meant to be for the learning of Torah. Fine, so you'll say back to me, fine. So now I know there's a connection between Torah and Shabbos. What kind of Torah should I be learning? Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'ha'ikar yiyah az l'lamed l'rabim es chukei ha'elokim, v'es torosav l'horos hilcho Shabbos. The main thing that a person should be learning on Shabbos is halacha l'maisar, meaning what the right things to do and what the wrong things to do. V'ha'asar v'ha'matar, those things which are prohibited and those things which are permissible. Meaning, you should be focusing on things that are practical, that will be able to guide you through life. You can learn, in theory, other things throughout the week, but Shabbos is a day of learning halacha. And he says further, not just halacha, but gam hamshich lev hashomim v'agada hamajrichim es ha'adam liyir hashamayim. A person could also and should also be learning like musar safarim, things that will increase their belief and their fear and their connection to Hashem. That's what a person should be learning. So in a synopsis of the Mishnah Berurah, a person should be learning two things on Shabbos, halacha and musar, things that will connect you to God further. Rabbi Eliezer Malamed has the following extension of all this, and he says it's not really just those two things. There's actually a little bit more that a person could be learning on Shabbos. What are those things? He writes as follows. Torah study on Shabbat should be a joy and a pleasure. It is good to come up with novel Torah ideas on Shabbat, and in fact, the Zohar states that on Saturday night, after the Neshama Yisera, right, we have not spoken about that too much yet, but God willing, we will have the opportunity to speak about it in a future shir. But this idea, there is an idea in the Gemara that we had an extra soul that we're given on Shabbos, so this extra soul, after Shabbat, it returns to Hashem, and God asks what chidushim, what new Torah concepts each Jew innovated that Shabbat with the help of his Neshama Yetera. In other words, the fact that we had this additional soul, many of us have always learned who know the concept of a Neshama Yetera, know that we have Neshama Yetera for one reason, and that's so that we can have more kugel and cholent on Shabbos, because having an extra soul, that allows us to not count calories. That's an interesting idea. Again, we'll speak about that maybe at a future date, but one thing that's for sure, and certainly comes from the sources itself, is that the Neshama Yetera, this extra soul, is there to help us reach a higher level of learning on Shabbos so that we can innovate new Torah ideas. He goes further, well, just a little bit more. This does not refer to chidushim that require toil and pain, but those that make people happy and contain novel understandings of life. One who cannot create novel insights should learn something new. In other words, what Rabbi Malamed basically says is that what should a person do? So it's not as strict as what the Mishnah Berurah said. Basically, he says, learn whatever you want, whatever makes you happy, whatever brings you happiness. That's what you should learn. However, also do your best to try to make sure you're learning something a little bit new, something a little bit different on Shabbos, and ideally even trying to come up with new Torah concepts. People usually are so doubting of themselves and believe that they are not these great Torah commentators, and so far be it from them to come up with novel Torah ideas. That's not true. Most of us, all of us rather, have a unique perspective in the Torah, and all of us should do our best to try to create novel Torah insights. Now, that doesn't mean that we should say that, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say one thing lahalacha, and therefore I disagree, and my read of the Torah says Shabbos. You don't have to keep Shabbos. That's not what that means, right? But that means that we all have a specific perspective, and when it comes to learning Torah, we should add our perspective. It should be in the context of what other great rabbis have said, but we also have our own chelek, our own portion of the Torah as well. So to summarize this first idea of what is the mystical connection between Torah and Shabbos, Shabbos is all about the Torah. One cannot have Shabbos without a Torah, because they have from the very beginning been interconnected such that the Torah was even given on Shabbos, and our entire lifeblood of Shabbos, of the holiness of Shabbos, has to do with sitting and learning Torah. Again, whatever makes us happy, but any sort of Torah whatsoever. Okay, number two, the second idea that we wanted to focus on was this idea of public Torah classes, and in particular, the idea of the drasha on Shabbos. It's a weird thing to focus on, because for those of us who know a little bit of modern Jewish history, it does feel like the sermon that we know nowadays is somewhat of a man-made creation, that it seems to not have many sources. But the truth is, if you look deeply enough in the sources, you do find origins that date all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a piece in the Yalkut Shimoni, one of the Midrashim, where I'll read it for you in English just to save some time. He says as follows, God said to Moshe, gather together large groups and publicly teach them the laws of Shabbat. Thus, future leaders will learn from you to convene groups every Shabbat and assemble in the Bate Midrash to teach and instruct Israel about when the Torah permits and forbids. Thus, my great name will be glorified among my children. In other words, what the Yalkut Shimoni is saying over here is that the notion, either it's of a drasha or a Shabbos class, but the notion of a class on Shabbos goes all the way back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. if you want to get a sense of how significant the idea of a Shabbat class or a Shabbat sermon is, well, you need not go further than the first source that we started with. If you remember, there is an idea that if you set your meal during the time of a Shabbos drush or a Shabbos shir, some sort of serious learning, that's going to be a prohibition. You will have violated a prohibition. And in particular, the Gemara in Gittin says, again, I'll read it in the English, in connection, the Gemara in Gittin on Lamed Ches Amad Beis, in connection with this issue, Rabbah said, with these three matters, homeowners become impoverished. That they free their slaves, okay, not a topic for right now, they inspect their property on Shabbat, and what's the third thing? Those that set their meals on Shabbat at the time of the drasha in the study hall so that they miss it, meaning people who specifically do whatever they can to miss the drasha, those people will become poor at the end of the day. Another final beautiful idea related to the idea of a drasha is what comes from the Gemara in Brachos and Vav Mabiz, and that is Amar Rabbi Zera Mirish ki hava chazina lehula rabbanan tekara hati lefarka b'shabta. Rabbi Zera said, at first when I used to see these rabbis go running to a shir on Shabbos, kamechalayin rabbanan shabsa, I would say they're being mechalal Shabbos, unbelievable, running on Shabbos, who's ever heard of such a thing? But kevan deshamana lehad Rabbi Tanchum Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but since I heard the following statement that liolam yarutz adam ledvar halacha v'afilu b'shabbos, that one should always be running to some Torah teaching, even on Shabbos, I would always say after that, ananami rahitna, that I too would also always run to a Torah teaching on Shabbos. Meaning, in general, one might assume that when you are running on Shabbos, that could be a prohibition. However, since the Torah is so quintessential to what Shabbos is all about, one is permitted to run to the Torah on Shabbos. One further idea, just to conclude with this, just so that no one feels bad if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I always sleep during the drasha on Shabbos, what sort of a wicked person am I? Well, first of all, I hope you don't, but I hope that you've been using these weeks off from Shabbos to get enough sleep so that when we do come back, no more sleeping during the drasha will take place. However, the Gemara in Brachos goes a little bit further and says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Agra de Pirka Rihata. There's an idea that the reward for attending a lecture, the reward for attending a Torah class, is not being there and sitting and internalizing the Torah, but rather for running towards the class. It seems that there is a basic understanding that most people will never be able to totally, if you ever sit at your Shabbos table and you're like, oh my gosh, what did the rabbi say this morning? That happens to evidently a lot of people, and that goes back to the times of the Gemara, because evidently no one was able to fully understand everything that the rabbi said, and no one was ever able to fully remember everything, and therefore, as a result, no one's reward that they get is judged on what they know or what they get out of it, but rather the fact of how quickly they went to it. So if you, as long as you run quickly to the Shabbos drasha, and try not to fall asleep, then it seems like you'll get some reward for it. So you might be wondering, you'll notice that I sort of danced around the term a little bit, especially if you were sensitive to some of the Hebrew text that I was reading, and that is that nowhere in the words that we just read did we specifically talk about the drasha in the classical sense, right? None of the Gemaras, none of the Midrashim are talking about a drasha, and that like this, the idea of like a 15-minute nice Torah thought that the rabbi gives him before Musaf on Shabbos morning, that does not have any ancient sources. So it happens to be that I was so bothered by this. I'm familiar with some, anyone who knows modern Jewish history, there was a lot of changes that took place, especially in the mid-1800s, related to the reform movement about what language the drasha was given in, etc., what sort of sermon was given, and what the style was, and that sort of has evolved, that I was so bothered that I didn't fully understand what the actual history of all this was, that I spent a great deal of time trying to research this, and I found a fascinating series of essays written by a man named Mark Saperstein. So I'm not going to quote him right now, but feel free to Google him and look him up. I believe he is a reform rabbi, so I wouldn't trust necessarily the Torah that he says, but you have to assume that the history that he shares is probably legitimate, and it's very fascinating to say the least. And so he goes through some of the history of how the modern drasha has developed, and what the point that he makes is that certainly the drasha as we have it nowadays is not what they might have done many, many years ago, but it certainly is related in that it was an evolution. In other words, whatever the time needed, it seems that's what the rabbis were doing. Right now, nowadays, it seems like what people need is the 15-minute Shabbos morning drasha, and that's what we do. There's also a concept of like a Shabbos afternoon class, so it seems like that also seems to be more even traced back to what they used to do back in the times of the Gemara, because that's what the Gemara was talking about, someone running to a Shabbos class on Shabbos. So it seems like all these things that we do, an afternoon class and a drasha, all have their sources, at least in some way, shape, or form, back to what they did in the times of the Gemara, albeit not maybe the exact same thing. I think at the end of the day, the point is clear, and that is historically, there has always been a notion of gatherings, of public gatherings to learn Torah on Shabbos. That's something that has been around since the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Finally, the third point, as we are now 4 minutes behind our end time, and the third point that we wanted to talk about was the idea of Torah reading on Shabbos. Where does the idea of reading the Torah come from on Shabbos? So there is a statement of the Masechta Sofrim. The Masechta Sofrim is one of the Masechtos Katanos, one of the minor tractates that we have. And in the 10th parak of the Masechta Sofrim, the following line can be read: Moshe Hiknila Hem LiYisrael Sheyu Korin B'Torah B'Shabbasus Yom Tovim U'Rosh Chodashim U'V'Chol Shel Moed. Then Moshe commanded that we should read Torah at all the major points throughout the year that we do Chol Hamoed, Yontif, and Shabbos. All of these times were established by Moshe. Why? Where did the nature of Torah reading come from on Shabbos? So it seems to not be entirely clear, meaning there's a lot of discussion about it, but there's not one full exact source where it totally says this is why we do it, right? So it seems like at the end of the day, it has to do with A, making sure people are able to know what the Torah says, right? How embarrassing would it be for a religion, for a group of religious people to not know what the Torah says? That's why it seems like we read it every single week, so that God willing, after enough years, we'll get a basic sense of what's going on in the Torah. And number two, it seems like that this is a beautiful way to help people increase in their Torah belief and their belief in Hashem in particular, as they read through the incredible stories and the incredible rules and laws that we have in our Torah. Rabbi Daniel Neustadt is the author of several great English books. I think Halachically Speaking is a book that he's written. He makes the following statement that's relevant for us, and that is that he says as follows: there are two basic opinions among the early poskim concerning the nature of the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos morning. One opinion holds that every adult male is obligated to listen to the weekly parsha read every Shabbos morning from a kosher Sefer Torah. He must pay attention to every word being read, or he will not fulfill his obligation. The second opinion maintains that the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah devolves upon the congregation as a whole. So that's the general perspective. Some people believe that every person, every individual has an obligation to hear the Torah read every Shabbos. Other people believe that it's only the community that has an obligation. By the way, this is the specific machlokas, this is the specific argument that people will turn to when it comes to trying to understand if we do have to make up for the missed Torah readings when we come back in Shul, right? Why would someone say that we don't have an obligation to make up for the missed Torah readings that we said in Shul? Because you say, it's only a communal obligation at the end of the day. There was no real community that gathered to learn to read Torah at the time that these parshiot were supposed to be read, and therefore, as such, we have no communal Torah readings that we have to make up. Why don't we have to go back why don't we then start with, I think it was Vayakal Pekudei. So whenever we do go back to Shul, why don't we start with Vayakal Pekudei? So it seems like we don't start with Vayakal Pekudei because we do have to keep some seder in order to what we do. And so what do you do about Simchas Torah? These are all great questions that we won't answer right now. But the point is, we will not end up making up all these missed parshiot. And it seems like, again, that goes based on the idea of people that say that the obligation to read Torah comes from an obligation on the community and not the individual. But nonetheless, what we see over here is that there is a clear obligation to read Torah on Shabbos, and it seems like it's related to, at the very least, making sure that the congregation, making sure that the community is constantly staying connected to the Torah that Hashem has given us, so that we constantly are able to reaffirm our faith and belief in God and His Torah. To sum up, where does this leave us? Remember, we started with three basic points, just to summarize. Number one, we said that there is this mystical connection between the Torah and Shabbos, that we said that the Torah was given on Shabbos, and that therefore creates this innate connection from the get-go. Number two, we said that sermons were sort of made for Shabbos, that all the Torah teachings, all the drushas and the Shabbos afternoon classes, all of these ideas have their sources going all the way back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, again, in one way, shape, or form. And number three, we said that leaning on Shabbos has its specific roots in this idea that we're trying to continue this connection between Shabbos and God and the historical Jewish people that have always been around for thousands of years, and reading the Torah every single Shabbos morning reaffirms our faith. So, where does all this leave us? So I believe that at the end of the day, what this entire conversation is about is trying to understand what the source that we started off with, this notion that we do have an obligation to learn Torah on Shabbos. What is the nature of that obligation? Why would we ever have been commanded to specifically learn Torah, and that if we don't learn Torah on Shabbos, we'll be violating a prohibition of some sort? In particular, if we schedule something else, we'll be violating a prohibition. So one possibility is that, well, every single day of the week we have an obligation to learn Torah, and Shabbos is no different. But what I would suggest is the following. I think there are two possible ideas. Maybe, right, we've noted so many times already that Shabbos has this intrinsic kedusha, that Shabbos has this intrinsic holiness. Perhaps Shabbos is not, excuse me, perhaps Shabbos is not about like a magic dust, right? Shabbos doesn't have this magical component to it that the second you enter Shabbos, you will be infused with holiness. Perhaps Shabbos is a day that God built into the calendar that we're, as we've seen through the sources, we are obligated to learn Torah. You want to know how you maintain the holiness of Shabbos, how you receive the holiness of Shabbos? You have to learn Torah. And in fact, perhaps you can therefore argue that if one does not learn Torah on Shabbos, maybe they're not getting the full real Shabbos holiness experience that they're supposed to be getting. Now, by that, I don't mean that there's no holiness intrinsically to Shabbos, because it's clear that there is, but certainly maybe there's this extra additional holy level of Shabbos that we could only tap into if we're able to sit and learn Torah properly. That's one idea, one conclusion that I thought we can maybe draw from this. The other possibility is that maybe Shabbos, the full holy, magical essence of Shabbos will always be accessible to anyone, no matter what, even if you're not learning Torah at all. But perhaps the notion of learning Torah on Shabbos is all about the idea that we spoke about, I think, going back to our first class or one of the first classes, and that is that the holiness of Shabbos lasts for us throughout the entire week. You'll ask, how does the holiness of Shabbos last for us throughout the entire week? Ah, so that maybe is the Torah learning. Perhaps it's the Torah learning on Shabbos that will sort of start our week off the right way, that will enable us to then learn more Torah during the week, and if we can learn more Torah during the week, that will enable the holiness of Shabbos to continue throughout our hearts and souls for every day between Sunday and Friday and not just Shabbos. I think ultimately what you can come down to and conclude from all of this is that Shabbos is a day in which we must be focused and try to learn a little bit more Torah, in particular in this day and age where we have no shul, and God willing, we'll be back soon in a safe and healthy way, but whenever that time comes, we'll speak about that in the future. But for right now, specifically, since we have no shul to go to, and we don't have a 3-hour minyan, and we don't have a drasha, we don't have the Shabbos afternoon class, Shabbos is about sitting and learning Torah and internalizing the Torah, because ultimately what we keep coming back to is this idea that why do we learn Torah, and why do we even have Shabbos itself? All this is about trying to increase our connection with the Almighty, to increase our connection with our Creator, who has blessed us in this world with life. Thank God, you know, He's given us the ability to keep breathing and to keep moving in this world. And although the world that we're living in is crazy right now, still we believe that Hashem is in control of everything and Hashem rules the world. And the goal of learning Torah will allow us to tap into that greater relationship and connection that we so deeply need and are so deeply longing. So God willing, we should all go into to this Shabbos, and not only this Shabbos, but every other Shabbos, and perhaps even in particular next Shabbos, when it will be Shavuos, to fill our Shabbatot with learning Torah, to allow ourselves not to just get closer to the Torah, but to also get, God willing, get closer to Hashem Himself. Everyone should have a great night.